Chapter 10. They take back Ord Radama by morning. Grievous's forces aren't ready for a direct assault, with their bombers harrying the 327th's cruisers and Livian Magnus still holding strong against the siege, plus the assistance of the native Devlik. The 501st manages to recapture the capital before Mace and Obi-Wan can even take back the last of the ordnance bunkers. Mace catches sight of the first of the 501st transports with a mix of relief and annoyance, and cuts down a commando droid that's about to take a shot at Pons. "Commander," he calls, and Pons jerks around, glancing up. As soon as he sees the ships, his eyes widen, and he jerks his comm up, snapping orders to whoever is on the other end. Mace drives three more droids over the edge of the cliff they're on with a hard force push, and concentrates for one moment and lifts a boulder from its place. It shudders, groans, but Mace sets his jaw, closes his fingers, and flings it sideways into the weakest point in the duricrete walls surrounding the bunker. There's a crack, louder than there should be, and the boulder punches right through, sending sections of wall crumbling in its wake. With a rumble of engines, one of the smaller transports comes in close to the edge of the cliff, and Anakin leaps the space with ease, landing hard. The blue blade of his lightsaber deflects a handful of bolts as a group of troopers follow him, already firing, and Mace doesn't sigh.
"Skywalker," he says, straightening as Anakin approaches.
"Livian Magnus."
"Ahsoka and Aayla have things under control there," Anakin says. "Grievous is here?"
"It looks that way,"
Mace confirms, though they haven't seen any trace of the cyborg yet. He motions Lightning Squadron forward, and the AT-RTs hurtle past, through the opening in the wall. Mace leaps after them, landing lightly on the other side, and hurls a group of droids back into a particularly sturdy section of duricrete, smashing them irreparably.
"Sir," Razor shouts, taking a shot that knocks a droid off the top of the building. "General Kenobi's pinned down on the east side. Ghost Company's taking heavy fire."
Landing beside Mace, Anakin curses. "Couldn't have stayed easy," he mutters. "Fives, kicks with me." Two troopers in blue splashed armor hurry after him, and Mace takes a breath, thinks about staying and helping Lightning Squadron, or going with Anakin to rescue Obi-Wan, and feels the certainty that he's needed elsewhere wash over him.
"Commander," he calls, and when Pons turns to look at him, he says, "Get into the base and secure the depots. I'm going to help Ghost."
"Yes, sir."
Pons immediately brings his comm up, calling for the 91st to start their assault on the base, and Mace turns, picking up a run. Without hesitation, Anakin follows.
"Thought you'd need help," he says, sounding pleased with himself, and hurdles the far wall in a long, twisting leap that he very obviously learned from Obi-Wan.
Mace rolls his eyes, and his jump is far more careful. He lands on top of the wall, then reaches back, and with a moment of concentration, he lifts both of Anakin's troopers off their feet and up over the wall before he drops down next to them.
"Thanks, General,"
the medic says, slightly out of breath. Mace nods curtly, then keeps moving. He can hear the sounds of a fight around the wide-flung wing of the base, the hiss of a lightsaber, and he activates his own, sweeps low and fast and cuts a droid off at the knees, jumps, a touch of the force carrying him high, and comes down in the middle of a knot of super battle droids. They all turn on him, but Mace deflects a blaster with the flash of violet, ducks another, rises, and shoves his lightsaber right through the closest. It teeters, and he shoves it back, turns. Crystalline structure, the expression of an object in the Force, hard as steel everywhere, except Mace puts his fist through the weakest point in the droid's armor, cuts a third's head off, and grabs the last one with the Force, sending it crashing into a droidica as it rolls to a stop behind Anakin. The droidica doesn't even have time to get its shield up. The battle droid hurls it back, and Mace grabs them both, focuses hard. A bolt drops. Then,
Like that released the flood, more rained down, and the droid crumples into pieces. Satisfied, feeling it burn in his chest like victory, Mace sweeps another two droids off their feet, slashes through another knot as they take aim at Fives, and leaves Anakin to deal with the last handful he's putting down as he rounds the edge of the gate. He's right behind a solid wall of battle droids, and he sweeps through them, pushing through to where he can see Obi-Wan, Cody, and several troopers pinned down behind a crashed ground transport. There's blaster fire from above, though, and he reflects one bolt back up to take out a droid, then catches Anakin's troopers rounding the wall and orders, "Fives, take out the droids on that building." "Sir!" Fives falls back, lifting his blaster rifle, and kicks, curses, and shoots one of the battle droids approaching, then falls in to cover him. Mace spreads a hand even as he parries another shot and takes a breath. The force is still clouded here, and sight is hard, but Mace knows fighting, can feel the burn in his blood, and with a little more power, a little finesse. Ord Radama is a swamp world. Even up here on a cliff by the Republic, to keep their bases secure, there are trees, tall and looming in the dawn. They bow and dip. And Mace sees the weakest point in their trunks, can tell the exact place where the dead tree slumped against the cliff will break. One hard shove is all it takes, and the top of the tree rises, sharp limbs and wide trunk, and crashes full force down on top of the ranks of droids. "Mace!" Obi-Wan shouts, but Mace can't tell if it's a warning or a greeting. He keeps moving either way, sidesteps a blaster bolt, and lets a trio of super battle droids close in until they're perfectly within arm's reach, then cuts them to pieces, sweeps more battle droids out of his way, then hears the hiss and snap of a lightsaber ignition.
"It took you long enough,"
he tells Anakin, who slashes through super battle droids and shrugs.
"I was taking out the ones above us,"
he says. "Behind you." Mace flips his lightsaber over, slamming it backwards through a droid's head, then spins to counter another flurry of bolts. A green blade deeper into the melee means Obi-Wan's found enough space to rejoin them, and Mace looks for his men, finds them returning fire as best they can from behind the transport.
"Grievous must be here," he says. "His cruiser's been destroyed. If he's not on the planet, he went down with it."
"We'd never be that lucky," Anakin says disgustedly. He ducks the swing of a blaster, kicks out the droid's legs, and cuts its head off with a twist of his lightsaber.
"Where's the closest landing pad?"
Mace pulls up a memory of the map, then points south.
"A ways into the swamp."
Anakin meets his gaze.
"Wanna bet Grievous is turning tail?"
"No," Mace says dry, "because that's a sucker's bet."
Anakin laughs, wild and reckless.
"We can take him," he says, and calls, "Torrent, this way."
Kix and Fives follow as he makes for the wide road leading down into the swamp, and Mace sighs through his nose. Grievous likely has plenty of guards, and a head start if he fled the second they started their attack. He cuts through the droid ranks, aiming for the flash of a green lightsaber, and gets there just as a super battle droid lifts its blaster. Mace blocks a blast from the other direction, not even pausing as he shoves his fist through its throat and drops it to the ground.
"Sir,"
Cody says, coming to his feet. Behind him, Obi-Wan turns, then cuts down a pair of battle droids and asks,
"Where's Anakin?"
"Headed to stop Grievous,"
Mace answers.
"I'm going after him."
Obi-Wan looks torn, but his gaze flickers to his men, to the base, and his mouth firms.
"I'll stay and sweep the base out," he says. "Commander, go with him. You're the best shot here, and Grievous isn't impervious to blasters quite yet."
"Sir," Cody says, and waves to one of his men. The trooper waves back, acknowledging, and Cody gives Mace a nod. Mace nods in return, then activates his comm even as he heads after Anakin at a run.
"Commander Pons, Skywalker and I are going after Grievous. He retreated to a landing pad to the south. Kenobi is taking the base from the east."
"We're almost through, sir," Pons reports.
I'll send another squad around to assist.
Thank you. Mace bows slightly as they reach the end of the trees, the glow of his lightsaber the only illumination in the close darkness.
You actually keep your commander updated on your position? Cody asks, quietly enough that Mace can only just hear it. The sweep of his blaster is wary, even at a run.
Can I get a transfer?
Mace snorts. I think that would be a conflict of interest,
he says dryly, and glances around them with a frown. Something itches, like eyes, and he rather doubts it's the natives. Still, he keeps moving quickly, and ahead of them he thinks he catches a shout, oddly muffled by the trees. Reaches out, lunging sideways, he jerks Cody out of the way of a blaster, then sweeps his blade up in time to reflect the next. A droid goes down in a spray of sparks, and Mace brings a hand up, eyes narrowing, feels the flare motion to their left, and sidesteps even as he grabs the droid, lifts it off the ground, and then closes his fist sharply. The rattle of droid parts hitting the road is the only sound for a moment.
Thank you, Cody says, and reaches up to touch the visor of his helmet. The landing pad's just ahead, and the general's already there.
In trouble, likely,
Mace nods and says, take the path, come up behind them.
Yes, sir, Cody agrees, and keeps moving. Mace turns left, leaping into the swamp, flips lightly across a stretch of murky water, lands carefully on a spur of land, and uses an edge of instinct to find a path straight towards the landing pad. Things stir in the darkness, but Mace passes them without pause, lands on the edge of built-up land and slashes out. The Magna guard turns, but too slow. Mace knows exactly where to strike, and he ducks the electro staff and tears right through the droid. It collapses, bleeding sparks, and the other half of the pair meets Mace with its staff buzzing. Behind the Magna guard, Anakin curses, dodging the spin of one of Grievous's lightsabers by a hair, then twisting to avoid the hit of another pair of Magna guards. He can't keep up, though, and Grievous laughs, stepping back as his guards close in.
You're not even worth my time, Skywalker,
he says, and turns with a flare of his cloak. Behind him, Anakin shouts with rage, but it jars sideways into pain as the electro staff cracks him in the shoulder. One of his troopers cries out as he hits the ground, and then Fives is standing between the guard and Anakin, firing his blaster. It's not enough. Mace shoves his lightsaber through the guard's torso, cleaving it in half in one hard swing, and then hurls one of the advancing guards back, catches the second staff before it can hit Fives, twists and kicks it back with a blow, the first already rising, and a shot from a high-powered blaster rifle explodes its head in a spray of sparks. And even if it's not enough to stop it, Mace takes the opening Cody gave him. He finds the shatter point, and with the force like a fist in his grasp, he hits. The droid crumples, crashing to the ground, even as one of the waiting ships lifts off.
No!
Anakin snarls, shoving kicks aside to stagger to his feet, even though it takes him a moment to get there. He stumbles, steadies, and says, we have to go after him. Normally, Mace would argue, would tell him to calm the cruisers and have them scramble starfighters, but they're at the very edge of the Radama void, and the Stygian caldera is just beyond it. Grievous alone, in a ship that small, has every chance of slipping right through the ranks of ships above and getting exactly where they don't want him to be.
Agreed, Mace says grimly, and deactivates his lightsaber.
Clipping it to his belt, he heads for the other ship that's waiting, eyes it for a moment, and then reaches out with the Force. It's easy enough to lower the ramp. The make is familiar, and Mace knows where the controls are, even without seeing them directly. Anakin is up the ramp as soon as it's close to the ground, heading for the cockpit. Mace waves Fives and kicks up ahead of him, then turns to meet Cody as he jogs out of the swamp.
Nice shot, he says. Cody smirks faintly.
Thanks, sir. Going after him? Mace inclines his head, even as the engines start.
Are you coming or returning to Obi-Wan? He asks.
Cody's smile pulls into something wry. General Kenobi would be sad if I let his former Padawan get himself killed without at least trying to help, he says. Anything to spare you that, Mace says, and follows him into the ship. The ramp closes behind them, and he comes to a stop with a hand on the pilot's chair, watching warily as Anakin takes them up. Pauses for a moment, then activates his comm. This is Windu. Grievous is fleeing the planet, and General Skywalker and I are in pursuit in a stolen ship. If you get a clear shot, take it. Yes, sir, a pilot acknowledges, and Anakin smirks. Gonna get that shot before me, broadside? He asks. You gonna let me, General? The pilot retorts, and Anakin laughs. Atmosphere falls away, and he glances over his shoulder. I have to let you win sometimes, he says cockily. Fives, can you use this thing's guns? Fives ducks past Mace, sliding into the co-pilot's seat and runs through the controls. Yes, sir, he says with a grin. It's a little newer than I'm used to, but I can figure it out. The Seps get all the nice stuff, Anakin complains lightheartedly. Mace curls his fingers into the chair and keeps his mouth closed on the reprimand he wants to voice. Instead, he switches frequencies and asks, Ayla, Ahsoka, how is the fighting in your position? Finished, I think, Ahsoka says after a moment. The Devlik helped us, and they're taking charge of the cleanup. The last of the bombers are being taken care of, too, Ayla confirms. You have eyes on Grievous, Master? Mace traces the path of Grievous's ship, the Ark heading around the last planet in the system, and frowns. He's headed for the edge of the nebula, he says curtly, whether he means to cross it into Old Sith territory, or simply lose us in the turbulent space, I'm not sure. It doesn't matter, Anakin says. He's not going to be in the air long enough for us to find out either way. The ship rockets forward, pace redoubling, but Grievous's ship twists downward into a dive, vanishing behind a rocky moon. With a curse, Anakin follows, and Cody grabs for one of the straps on the wall as their ship lurches. Behind the moon, the Radama void looms, depthless black, and on the far side of it is a thin ring of red, like fire. Grievous is heading straight for it, and there's no way to cut him off. Mopaki, Anakin mutters. He's faster than this bucket of bolts. Mace checks his calm, ready to contact broadside or any of the other starfighters, but all he gets is a faint crackle. Interference, likely from the nebula, and he grimaces, then reaches out with the Force, intending to touch Obi-Wan's mind, familiar enough to be easy to find. Only shadows meet him and nothing else. Mace? Cody murmurs, watching him with concern. Mace drops his hand, unease curling through his gut. I can't reach Obi-Wan, he says, or Ayla, and there's interference on the comms. What? Kix asks, alarmed. He lets go of the back of Five's chair long enough to test his own comm, and grimaces when he doesn't get a response. Sir, if we're completely cut off from the rest of the battalion, we're not cut off, we've got a ship. Anakin says, stubborn. And Grievous is getting away! Anakin, Mace starts. No, Anakin says, and leans forward. I can catch him, see? He's turning! Turning along the edge of the caldera, skirting a particularly dark spot, and punching right through. Slag, Anakin says, and their ship races for the same spot. No, Mace says sharply, and grabs Anakin's shoulder. Anakin, turn us around. The caldera isn't a thing we should brave. I can do it, Anakin counters. And the stomach-first churning lurch comes as red light washes over the ship. Kix yelps, almost thrown off his feet. But Mace catches him, hulls him over and up against the wall next to Cody, who grabs him. The whole ship judders like it's about to tear apart. And Fives makes a sound of alarm, grabbing for the arms of his chair. General, he tries. We're in range. Take the shot, Anakin orders. And Fives grabs for the controls again. Skywalker,
Mace snaps, but he's not about to knock out their pilot in the middle of a nebula.
Skywalker, turn around. That's an order.
Anakin ignores him, and the ship twists sideways, jerks, shudders back straight. Fives hisses something, but takes the shot at Grievous's half-visible craft, and misses as their ship jars sideways in a long, lurching slide. Eyes widening, expression almost betrayed, Anakin tries to haul them back straight, but it doesn't work. Distantly, distinctly, something cracks. Mace takes a breath in, lets it out.
Jump us to hyperspace, he says calmly, and touches Five's shoulder.
The trooper grimaces, pale, but doesn't lean away. Another juddering wrench makes Anakin hiss, and he says, I'm a little busy keeping us in the air right now. Cody sighs somewhere behind Mace's shoulder, and Mace rolls his eyes. Dropping to his knees to stay stable, he inputs the coordinates, aiming them for where the Endurance is waiting, and says, go.
With pleasure, Anakin says, and Mace tamps down on his annoyance as Anakin leans over, hitting a series of switches, leans back, flipping a lever down, and says, okay, so next time the evil cyborg wants to shake his ship to pieces in a nebula, I'll just let him. So the familiar hum of the hyperdrive engaging washes over the ship, just as a particularly hard shudder practically slams the whole ship sideways. Mace, halfway upright, is thrown completely off his feet, and Cody shouts. A hand grabs his tunic, a body cushions his impact with the wall, and Mace pushes upright, not bothering to step away from Cody's arm around his waist, holding him upright, looks, and for one fractured second, the nebula blurs, stars becoming visible in patchy streaks. Then, like a tow line pulled tight, something jerks and they come out of hyperspace with a sickening jolt, the ship flipping end over end as it tumbles down towards gravity. Mace gets a half-second impression of a dark planet, then darker sky above whirling past, grabs for the force as the planet surges, nearing too fast. And it comes. It comes instantly, eagerly, surging out with his will, and Mace aims for momentum, for their ship, for the ground that's hurtling up to meet them. Impact. And then, darkness. Depa surges up out of sleep with a cry, every nerve bright with pain that isn't physical. Her head aches and she clutches at it with both hands, hissing out of breath, trying to fight down the pain, but there's a ringing, raw-edged emptiness in her head that hasn't been there in as long as she's been conscious, and it hurts. Master! A voice cries beside her, and small hands catch hers, pull, give up, and just try to hold. Master, what's wrong? Are you okay? Caleb, Depa realizes, and tries to gather herself. Her Padawan needs her. Her Padawan is worried. But there's only emptiness in her head, when always before she's been able to feel a presence. A warm presence, as steady as stone and kind as rainfall. But now it's gone. Gray, Caleb calls when Depa can't find the words to answer. Gray, something's wrong. I can't. More voices, distant, then coming closer quickly. A figure hits the ground beside her on their knees, and Gray asks, General, you're all right, General. We're here. Everyone's safe.
No, Depa breathes, and Gray goes still.
No, they're not. My master is gone.
Caleb's indrawn breath is harsh and horrified.
Master Windu? He asks. He can't be.
I'll calm command, Gray says, rising to his feet. They'll be able to give us his last deployment.
Ord Radama,
Depa says without hesitation, and finally manages to lift her head. The pain is receding, like the fading sting of a rubber band that broke when she stretched it too far. There's nothing that can break a mental tether like that, though. Not that Depa has ever heard of. This was a clean cut, their bond sliced through. And if she didn't know better, she'd think that it was death that caused it.
It wasn't death, though. It was something entirely different, because Depa knows, bone deep and immediate, that Mace is still alive. She takes a breath, smooths her braids back over her shoulders, then rises to her feet. With a sound of alarm, Caleb scrambles up after her, grabbing her arm and says, "Master, should you be standing?" "The commander's right," Gray agrees, rising as well, and he hovers close like he's prepared to catch her if she faints. "Something's wrong, General. We can get the medic." Depa snorts. "I'm fine," she says. "It was mental, not physical. And beyond that, we have to go." "Go?" Caleb asks, blinks, and then says, "To Ord Radama? But if something there killed Master Windu..." "He's not dead," Depa says evenly, and leans down to collect her lightsaber and discarded cloak. "Commander Gray, I'll leave things in your hands."
"With all due respect, sir," Gray says evenly, "Captain Sykes can take charge here. I'm coming with you."
Depa frowns, looking from Caleb's wide-eyed worry to the stubborn set of Gray's mouth. "Commander, I can't ask you to abandon your post," she says softly.
"You can't ask me to abandon my general either," Gray says, and turns. "I'll ready a ship and let the men know. Excuse me, sir."
"Breathe in, breathe out." Depa closes her eyes for a long moment, then opens them to Caleb's wary gaze trained on her face. "You felt him disappear?" Caleb asks after a moment. "I felt something take him," Depa corrects, because there's a world of difference between those two things. She touches his shoulder, just lightly, then says, "Get your cloak, Caleb. It's getting hot, but you might need it in space." Caleb blinks, then frowns at her. "Master, it's cold. Soot said it was about to snow." Depa pauses, caught off guard, and looks around. She can see her breath misting in the air, but at the same time, it feels hot, humid, like if she opened her eyes, she'll be back on Harun Kal, and in the middle of the jungle, the air is so thick it's hard to breathe. "Oh," she whispers, and reaches, desperately, recklessly out into the darkness, searching for some sign that Mace is still out there. All that answers her is shadows, choking dark, and nothing else.